Hello everyone, and welcome back to Radio Mariam Armenia. My name is Chris Croson, and yet again I'll be your host. I am a Birthright Armenia volunteer in the stunning city of Gyumri, and I'm currently working on a project with Radio Mariam in which I am conducting interviews with my fellow Birthrighters. In these interviews, I hope to get our listeners acquainted with the Gyumri volunteers, see what they're doing in Armenia, and see what kind of insights they can offer us into life in Armenia today. In today's episode, we are joined by yet another very special guest, Tatios Rey. Thank you for being here, Tatios, and welcome.
Of course, yeah, I'm super happy to be here.
We're super happy to have you on the show, Tatios. It's a pleasure. All right, so first things first, our listeners need to get acquainted with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? And are you working? Are you studying? All these kind of basic, essential questions. Go ahead.
Well, I was born and raised for my entire life in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
USA. And right now, I am a student. I study animal science at Texas A&M University, College Station. So that's kind of been consuming all my time for the past 2 years.
Yep. And how many years? How many years is the course?
It is, it's 4 years long, a bachelor's degree.
I got you. What was it like growing up in old Dallas, Texas? Was it a good place?
Yeah, you know, I loved it. I loved Dallas a lot. There's a lot of people who live in Dallas who will say, you know, it's such a boring city. But I would disagree. I think it's actually a great place to live, very interesting. You know, there's a lot of unique aspects about Dallas, which I really love.
And what kind of stuff is on offer in Dallas, would you say?
I would say one of the best things that we have is every year we are at the location of the Texas State Fair, which goes on for about a month, and it's basically a showcase anything and everything Texas that you could possibly imagine. And, you know, it kind of just engulfs the city for about a month. And anything that your heart could desire, you can find there. And, you know, I've always loved it greatly.
Are you still part of the Birthright program, or have you finished now?
I'm still a part of the program, but my time is quickly coming to a close.
When do you officially end?
Should be this Friday, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And when did you start? When did you first arrive to begin the Birthright program?
I first arrived back in May. Started on May 16th.
It's been a good old time.
Yeah, it's been a good run.
All right, so, you know, you're part of this program, and to qualify for the program, you need to have an Armenian connection. Could you tell us a bit about your Armenian connection?
Yeah, so I am half Armenian, and that comes from my mother. My mother is an Armenian from Syria. She's from a city called Hasake in the far north. There's a small Armenian community there compared to the other huge Armenian populations that are in Syria.
Right.
But nonetheless, it's a strong community. You know, we're very proud Armenians.
And do you know the story of how they ended up there?
Yes. From what I've been told is my great-grandfather, who was also named Tatios, was kidnapped after his family members were murdered. And eventually the Kurdish tribesmen of the area made him into a shepherd boy. And through all of this, he managed to find other Armenians. And from there, he eventually made his way to Syria, and eventually first Kamishli, and then my grandparents and mother were eventually ended up in Hasake. And my great-grandfather was originally from Aintab.
And where is that located on a kind of modern map?
Aintab is now known as Gaziantep. It's closer to, I want to say, like, southern Turkey, modern Turkey.
Okay, I got you.
But very close to the Syrian border.
How did that side of the family end up in America? Do you know the tale behind that as well?
Yes. It was at the pushing of my grandfather, essentially, where my mother lived, and they lived in Syria. While Armenians were greatly loved in their communities in Syria, they still experienced certain aspects of being essentially considered foreigners.
Right.
They were born in Syria. You know, my mother has recounted to me times where a teacher would admonish the class if she had done better than them, saying, why have you let this foreigner outdo you?
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather essentially sort of saw the writing on the wall and determined that they had reached the upper level of their possible prosperity in Syria, and encouraged my mother and all of her siblings to study elsewhere and eventually leave Syria. And so my mother went to medical school in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, she found her way to America.
Wow. Real globetrotters. That's a really good story. What kind of role does Armenian culture play in your everyday life? Back home, you know, were you speaking Armenian with your mom at home? Were you eating Armenian dishes, this kind of thing?
You know, it has a kind of a weird amount of stages within my life, you know, that throughout my life it's played a big role, you know, especially with the church. In Dallas, we have our community is centered around the Armenian church, which has steadily grown and become, you know, a stronger and bigger community every year. That was the biggest, I guess I will say it's still the biggest influence, Armenian influence in my life. I became very heavily involved at a young age, and I started as an altar boy. And, you know, through that, I would go to St. Nephthys Seminary in Armonk, New York, every year to learn more about the liturgy in the church and Armenia as a whole. And so, you know, I'll go every Sunday and partake in this and ensure that I was very deeply and heavily involved in Armenian culture and in the Armenian community. And then within my house, I didn't ever speak Armenian with my mother, but my grandmother did come and live with me in our house for about 6 years. And then I had to start speaking some Armenian.
did she not speak English?
No, she knew no English at all, and she still doesn't.
So it was kind of on your own accord that you connected with your Armenian heritage. It wasn't something that was super present at home, would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree, because both of my parents, especially my mother, were you know, extremely busy with work when I was growing up. And so while my mother did try to impart that on me and my brothers, you know, being Armenian, you know, we all have very painfully Armenian names, especially for Texas. And, you know, we went to Armenian school and church and everything. At home, we did live a very, you know, American lifestyle.
Right. When it comes to your self-identification, at least, you know, ethnically, nationally, do you consider yourself a American Armenian? Just an American, an Armenian.
Yeah, I would go so far, I would say an American Armenian, or more specifically a Texan Armenian. I feel very, you know, split down the middle. You know, I kind of feel myself in the cultural doorway in between both Texas and America and Armenia, because it feels like I can connect or kind of, you know, meld into whichever community I'm around. You know, especially now that I'm in university, and for those who don't know, Texas A&M is a university which is famous for its extremely heavy Texan tradition and just, you know, university tradition as a whole. You know, the people I am surrounded with, we're all deeply embedded in our own, you know, Texan American culture. I feel I can very definitely and easily switch in between the two and feel comfortable, you know, being Armenian or being American. You know, depending on where I am and who I'm with.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's like being from the diaspora community. You know, you can't pick just one. You have to come to terms with all aspects of your heritage and figure it out in the way that works best for you.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
All right, here's a big question. What does it mean to be Armenian? Do you have an opinion on this? Do you think there are common traits that all you know, not even full Armenians, but Armenians with partial heritage like you or I, do you think there are traits that they share or should share?
Yeah, and I think this is you know, a very important question, especially for diasporans such as ourselves. Because, you know, I definitely felt this before when I was growing up, like, you know, I'm not actually Armenian, you know, I'm not full Armenian. And I learned there's a much different attitude here in Armenia, but I guess we can address that after. But I think first it's important not to, you know, make claims on who's Armenian and who's not.
Right.
You know, I'm very much of the mindset of Armenian is Armenian. So, you know, your grandfather, your great-grandfather is Armenian. you can still be Armenian. And I think through, you know, your ancestry, we connect a lot through our shared culture, our shared history, mm-hmm. especially in the diaspora, you know, our communities, and especially the Armenian Apostolic Church. I think that's one of the biggest ways we all connect with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because many of us, I would say, go so far as to say the majority of us, and even if not, we a part of it, we can always still become a part of it. We're joined by this very ancient institution which sustained and brought our ancestors together and, you know, served as this sort of bastion of Armenia. And even now today, I believe, you know, spiritually and community-wise, this is very much the function of the church as well. And a huge part of helping us to connect as Armenians.
Very interesting. Let's talk a bit about the Birthright Armenia program itself. Tatios, why did you decide to take part in the program?
Well, primarily because I wanted to know what it was like to work and live and study in Armenia. Because, you know, while I am a very proud Armenian, prior to becoming a Birthright volunteer, Armenia was somewhat of a foreign place to me. And as an Armenian, I didn't want to, you know, be a foreigner in a country I considered my own.
Right. Remind me when you came, sir?
I came in May.
You came in May. And so we met in Yumi. Were you in Yumi the whole time, or were you in other cities before that?
I stayed my entire, you know, roughly 3.5 months in Gyumri. All of my time was in Gyumri.
And what made you decide to come to this city specifically?
There were a multitude of reasons. I guess the first one was, you know, the work I'm doing with Birthright.
Yeah.
For me, really could have only been accomplished in Gyumri. But also, I felt I would get a much more pure and authentic Armenian experience. In Gyumri, you know, for years, Armenia and the diaspora has really gone through an era of Yerevan centricism. You know, lots of the resource, you know, people, you know, anything that you could possibly name, you know, visitors, you know, when lots of diasporans come, it all seems to be based
around Yerevan.
Yeah, but Armenia is not just Yerevan, it's so much more. And I felt that Gyumri was an excellent opportunity to have a much more authentic Armenian life in Armenia while I'm living here, and truly get to deeply know the people and, you know, way of life.
Well, I'm really glad you said that, Tatios, because I'm trying to figure out why people are coming to Gyumri, and to really highlight this point that Armenia is not just Yerevan. The regions of a country are so important as well, and they need to be, you know, put on the map. And everyone else who I've interviewed, they've said similar things. Why was Gyumri this more kind of raw, authentic Armenian experience for you?
I would say because it's much smaller than Yerevan. You know, especially in the past decades, Yerevan has evolved into this very international, cosmopolitan metropolis. And to go to Gyumri, it's a very close-knit Armenian city with a very pure Armenian culture. There's not a lot of outside international influence in Gyumri. So, you know, the dialect, the food, the architecture, you know, cultural mannerisms, anything that you could name about just normal life even, it is so much more, I would say, authentically Armenian in Gyumri.
And how did you enjoy your time in Gyumri?
You know, I loved it. I was extremely enamored with the city because every day I learned something new. I met new people. I had a new interaction. And, you know, sometimes I just have to stop and think like, wow, I'm really here. You know, I've not just come all this way in Yerevan. I'm in this much smaller city that is still trying to kind of pick itself up from the earthquake. And I'm in the middle of all of it.
And when you first arrived in Gyumri, do you remember your first impressions of the city, and have they changed after you've lived there for over 3 months now?
My first impression of Gyumri, it was a little dimmed because, you know, I guess for the listeners, all of the Birthright volunteers are taken to a district known as 58, and that's where we all live in Gyumri, and it's a little rough around the edges.
To put it lightly.
And so when I, you know, I remember my first day, I was kind of dazed almost. I was just kind of get my bearings and walk around. And I was like, you know, wow, streets aren't paved. The buildings look like they could use a little work. Like, I was kind of like, you know, what is this? Why hasn't this city progressed past this in so many years since independence? But, you know, after living in Gyumri for so long and experiencing it, you know, I became very attached and I grew to love it deeply, especially 58, because the community there, you know, it's still a very close, very loving community. And, you know, the people, they kind of just take it all in stride and, you know, living and working towards a better Gyumri for everyone.
Definitely. And could you tell our listeners your favorite place in the city or your favorite activity to do in Gyumri?
Oh, that's a tough one because there's so many. I would have to say the square in Gyumri, Vardanyat Square, you know, just the focal point of the city. And, you know, I just love to walk through there every day on, you know, through the historic district on my way to the office, because it was always so vibrant and it was always so full of Gyumratis enjoying their city and, you know, the beautiful architecture and markets surrounding it.
And are there any disadvantages to life in Gyumri, or what was the most challenging thing you found whilst you were living here?
I guess I would say the disadvantage to Gyumri was maybe probably the power outages. And through that also, to be in Gyumri, you must also accept what it is to live in a much smaller regional city, in a tiny country such as Armenia. You're not going to get the sort of large institutions like the huge shopping malls or a plethora of restaurants or cafes or, you know, the selection of entertainment or that sort of side of life that you might see in a city like Yerevan.
Right. But that's something you can adapt to if you're willing to do so.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's not as difficult to adapt to as it sounds. Gyumri will present itself its own opportunities.
And how did you find the people here?
I found them extremely friendly, extremely warm and welcoming. And it was extremely interesting, actually, because as a Western Armenian, you know, the Armenian culture I was exposed to growing up was Western Armenian culture. I felt very culturally close, much closer to the people in Gyumri than the ones in Yerevan, because Gyumri has a very heavy Western Armenian influence. Many Western Armenians, you know, went to Gyumri and influenced the food and the speech and the lifestyle. And it felt kind of vaguely familiar at points. Yeah, which I loved very much.
And let's talk a bit about the language. So you said, you know, when your grandma moved in with you, you were basically forced to start learning Armenian. How was your Armenian when you arrived? I suppose you were speaking Western Armenian. And how did you find speaking Armenian in Armenia?
Yeah, so I spoke very poor Western Armenian because, you know, I was just learning from one old woman and she would, of course, mix in her own slang and random loan words from Arabic and Kurdish that would confuse me. So when I came to Armenia, I had actually been studying Eastern Armenian for about a year in anticipation of coming to Armenia, because I knew that there were large differences.
Right.
And so I knew, you know, basic Armenian, but my Armenian now is much, much more well-developed. And I can say I can actually speak much more and I have a lot more confidence than when I first did.
And I suppose that's a very important aspect of feeling closer to your Armenian roots. You know, language plays such a huge role in national feeling.
Yes, and for me personally, you know, to feel Armenian, it's extremely important for me. And my goal is, you know, eventually fluency in Armenian, because this is a standard I set for myself. This is not something I, you know, impose on like other Armenians. If I want to call myself Armenian, I want to know that I speak Armenian, because in my opinion, it's a very special thing, you know, for two Armenians, you know, wherever in the world they meet. It's special that we can be able to speak Armenian with each other, you know, not the other diaspora languages that, you know, many Armenians know: Arabic, French, German, English. But I think Armenian is the truly special lingua franca we all have.
All right, so let's focus a bit more on the birthright Armenia experience itself. Have you enjoyed it?
Yes, I have loved it. It's been an amazing experience.
What's the best thing you've done? Your favorite memory?
Well, I want to say it's when we went to the Tashkan waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite an amazing excursion. You know, I don't think I've seen such a, you know, majestic nature and, you know, such a beautiful piece of Armenia, you know, just having the experience of me and all my fellow volunteers at this gorgeous waterfall, swimming in it, experiencing it, truly one of my favorites.
And what was your kind of favorite aspect of the program? Was it the excursions that you could go on? Was it the forums that are on offer? Or, you know, was it even your job site?
I think I would say it's the excursions, because it allowed me to see and experience so many parts of Armenia where even if I had just decided to come on my own and like, oh, I'm going to go volunteer in Armenia independently,
yep,
I probably would not have seen any of what I saw on the excursion had it not been for, you know, Birthright to provide that.
Mm-hmm. I got you. We've spoken very highly of the program. Are there any downsides, do you think, to the Birthright Armenia program? Anything that could be improved?
You know, I can't really think of a downside to the Birthright, like, because they are very accommodating.
Right.
You know, they work with you as a volunteer to make sure you can come to Armenia, have a successful time in Armenia, and achieve your goals, what you want to do with the program. And, you know, if you ask, like, oh, I've got work, I've got school, something, you know, I'm not sure if I can come to Armenia, I might not be able to afford that, they will try and give you solutions to all of these to make sure that you have a smooth time and a successful time in Armenia.
I got you. Have you been to Armenia before you came on the Birthright experience?
Only once, 6 years ago, when I was 14 years old.
How did the Birthright experience differ to when you came as a tourist when you were 14?
Different in every way possible imaginable.
Yeah.
Imagine. You know, I was essentially a tourist when I was 14. You know, we stayed here for only 2 weeks. We hit a few spots outside of Yerevan, but, you know, it was a very surface level experience.
Now that you've done the Birthright experience, did you feel like you had immersed yourself into Armenian society?
Yes, I feel like I very much so immersed myself into Armenian society. You know, I think that kind of moment of full immersion happened somewhere around July, when I had just been in this, you know, almost mundane life-like routine,
right,
you know, as much as mundane life can be in Birthright. For many weeks at that point. So, you know, I'll go to work, you know, in Armenia, you know, take the Armenian marshrutka, you know, all these quintessential Armenian experiences rolled into just my normal day. You know, I'd go home to my host. I'd only be able to speak Armenian with her. You know, Saturday, I'll go everywhere around Armenia. Sunday, I would come back to the church in 58, also, you know, in Armenia. So, yeah, I feel like I was very deeply immersed into Armenian society at that point.
Tell us a bit about your job site.
So I worked at a cheese factory in the village of Mehrashat, which is by bus around 40 minutes one way outside of Gyumri, right on the Turkish border. The fence is, you know, forms the border line for the village. And if you stand on a certain hill, you can look into Turkey and see a village on the other side of the border. And so there, I worked in a family's cheese factory, and we made, you know, traditional Armenian dry string cheese, and we also produced butter and soft cheeses as well.
How did you enjoy that?
I loved it. It was incredibly interesting and informative for me.
I bet.
And, yeah, I loved how hands-on it was, and I loved the experience of getting to know Armenian agriculture and what it's like to work in this sector of the economy in Armenia.
Was it something that you'd done before?
No, this was my first time not only just making cheese and working in cheese making, but even working with dairy as a whole. All of my animal agriculture experience comes either from beef cattle or whatever I've picked up on in the university. This was very new for me, and I believe that greatly contributed to how much I loved it.
Definitely. And would you say it's going to be a valuable experience? You think it's going to look good on your resume, for example?
Yes, you know, I think it'll be extremely valuable to me. This experience actually counted as one of the mandatory internships needed for my degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to go work in some sort of agricultural setting and get it and learn. And so my cheese making was able to count towards that. And now I have much more practical hands-on experience into the dairy industry and dairy science and, you know, all of the other related fields.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to start wrapping up now, unfortunately. But yeah, as you were saying, your Beaufort experience is soon coming to an end. This Friday, in fact. Looking back on it, are you glad you took part in the program? And would you recommend it to others who have the opportunity to come to Armenia and do a bit of volunteer work here?
Yeah, I am, you know, the most glad of anything I think I've done in my life up to date to do Birthright. It's been such an incredible and unique experience that, yes, I highly encourage and recommend anyone who is eligible, who can do it, who's thinking of doing it, take the leap and do Birthright Armenia. You will not regret it.
Would you say that now that you've done the Beaufort Armenia program, you feel closer to Armenia, its people, its culture? Do you feel more Armenian, let's say?
Yes, I feel, you know, so much closer than I ever thought I could or than I ever did before. And I believe I've become much more Armenian through this experience, and not just feeling more Armenian. You know, I think this was a great way to make it's so that Armenia is now a familiar place to me. You know, I've still always, you know, have mysticism and wonder at Armenia. Oh, it's such a great place. But it's, you know, not an enigma to me anymore. I understand Armenia so much better.
Final question. The final question I asked everyone. Would you ever consider moving to or settling down in Armenia in the future?
Yes, I would, actually. And through my time here, you know, I've definitely, it's crossed my mind on how I would ever do something like that or if it would be possible. But I believe that's one of the reasons why I decided to do Birthright as early as I could, because should I ever want to or move to Armenia, you know, I want to be able to mold my life into making that a possibility from now. So I can always, you know, move if I want to, and it's not, you know, an arduous process for me. And after this experience, I definitely would settle down in Armenia.
That's great to hear. Well, I think that'll do for today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, Tatios. I'm certain our listeners will find your insights, your experiences, your impressions into life in Armenia and the Beaufort Armenia experience really interesting, really insightful. Thank you again for coming, and enjoy the rest of your time here, and good luck with what you're doing in the future.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.